We have some young people coming to sing for us tonight. Brother Mick Hall, Brother Mike Bragg have served here on staff as assistant pastors for 12 years now. It's hard to believe from 08 to 2020. These guys have been here and done a wonderful job. And, you know, I thought back to my days at Marion Avenue, and every now and again, Brother Brown would just call me up and say, "Hey, you got a sermon burning in your heart?" And I would say, "Yes, sir." And he would say, "Well, preach Sunday night." And I enjoyed that. I should have done more of that over the years. And Brother Mick and I have been talking recently about some messages that he's been preaching and just some wonderful content material. And so I said this morning, "Do you want to preach tonight?" And he said right back, "Sure." So I'm giving that opportunity in the service tonight. We're very glad to hear from him after these tremendous job with the young people. They've been having a full house on Wednesday night, 45 teenagers, just a good bunch, and not just a good number. We got some good kids, and I appreciate them. So y'all come and sing for us, and then Brother Mick will bring the message.
Tell you what, that'll fire a youth pastor up, huh? Come on. I love you, Brother Tony, but you won't get me fired up like hearing some teenagers singing about Jesus. That's good. And you know what? With the uncertain days that we have ahead of us, we need to learn to be near to Jesus. We need that. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter number 3. 1 Samuel 3 tonight. We're going to look at this story. And when preacher texted and asked if I would like to do that, my first thought was, wait, are you going to be here? Do I have to preach in front of you? But I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to preach. Thank you for allowing me to work here and for not firing me many, many times. You didn't have to say amen to that. That might be the only amen I get tonight. I'll take it. 1 Samuel chapter number 3, let's all stand, please. We're going to look at verse number 1. It says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." Tonight I'm going to preach a message, Eli's Losing It. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do not take the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit lightly. Lord, not only because of the tremendous pastor that we have, but because of the responsibility I have to preach your word. Father, I pray that you'd please help as I preach, and Lord, the words that come from my mouth, I pray, Lord, that they would be from you and not just from a heart that desires to help people, but it would be from you. And I pray, Lord, that you please speak to our hearts through the message that you've laid on my heart tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Samuel, even though he is just a child, he is ministering before the Lord. The Bible says this about Samuel's ongoing growth in the Lord. In verse number 18, it says, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord." Verse number 21 of chapter 2, it says, "And the child Samuel grew before the Lord." Verse number 26 says, "And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men." In chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "And Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and did let none of his words fall to the ground." What a tremendous thing to be said about someone. That the word of God is not allowed to fall to the ground, but is captured up and is caught as it's being said, as it's being read, as it's being preached. "And all Israel," verse 20 says, "from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord." This is a tremendous testimony of Samuel's growth in the Lord. Growing to a point where the people can't help but see that the young man was special. That he was set apart by God for a special purpose. He was set apart to be a prophet of God. To be the one to whom God would once again give an open vision to. Growing in the Lord is not just a privilege for the child Samuel. Young people, can I tell you that you can grow in the Lord also? Samuel grew as a child. You don't have to wait until you're a teenager to grow. You don't have to wait until you're an adult to grow. 8-year-old, you can open your Bible and you can read it. 10-year-old, you can have a time of prayer in the morning. Even baby Christians, you can grow. You can have your devotions. You can have your prayer life. We can all do that. The Bible is very clear on the trajectory of Samuel, but it is also very blunt on the direction of the other person in this chapter. It says in verse number 2, "And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see." First point that I have tonight was Eli was becoming sightless. Eli was losing his vision. And while these verses here are speaking about his eyesight, I believe it's fair to say that he was losing a spiritual vision as well. 1 Samuel 2, it says, verse 29, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people." Verse 35, and I will raise me up a faithful priest. What do you think that is implying? That should do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. I think it's fair to say that Eli was losing his spiritual vision. He was becoming sightless. What is vision? Vision is the lens that interprets the events of our lives, the way that we view people. It's even the way that we view God himself. Vision is essential. It is something that we need to have. Maybe not for Chloe when she's playing volleyball. There was a volleyball game at the end of the season where the ball went over the net. She was eyeing that and she was ready to spike it. She went up, she brought her hand back, and when she did, her glasses went flying up in the air. She did a tremendous pirouette, caught the glasses with one hand. Without her glasses on, she turned around and spiked the ball down. Tremendous. It went over, and I believe it landed in, and we got a point on that. So maybe we should try without our glasses from now on. But physical vision is important. We all need that. It's obvious. But spiritual vision is definitely essential. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Spiritual vision is so essential that without it, the Bible says, people perish. How much more for someone that was in Eli's position? Who was Eli? Well, he was a priest. He was a high priest. He was a judge of Israel. It's quite possible that Eli was the person who was in the highest position spiritually as well as socially in all of Israel at that time. There was nobody in a higher position than Eli. What does that mean? There were a whole bunch of people who were relying on him and on his vision. You know what? There are a whole lot of people that are relying on us as well. People who are relying on soul winners to knock on their door. They may not realize that they're relying on you, but they are. People who are relying on a coworker to witness to them on the coffee break. Young people who are relying on their parents to teach them about God and keep God in front of them. Hey, there are people who are relying on preachers and teachers. There are some boys and girls who are relying on their bus workers. And we can fail them if we have no vision. My heart was stirred some months ago when the buses were stopped and they were stalled. And Brother Jeff posted something about his bus. He showed a picture of bus number 6. And in that post he said, when this test is over, we need to dedicate ourselves to filling up these buses. I was stirred this morning to see our buses. As the boys and girls were sitting there, and as they were excited to be back at church, I was stirred at seeing the workers on the bus. I was stirred at seeing the bus captains who were excited to see their kids. I can imagine as those kids came on one by one, they were pumped and they were lifted because they got to see their kids back. People who want to see their kids back. People who want to reach more. People who have a vision for what could be. People who want to see their bus kids become preachers and teachers. People who want to see their bus kids go to Bible college and want to see their bus kids rear their kids in church. People who have a vision for those kids that ride on the bus. My heart was stirred this afternoon in the afternoon program as teachers got to get back to their classes and teach. Huddle groups got to meet again. On Wednesday, Sunday school teachers are being able to teach because there's a vision there. This week, we're going to need people of vision to go out and go soul winning once again. Is it going to be awkward going out and knocking on some of those doors with how people act? Yeah, it will be. I'm not going to tell you it's not. Brayton and I went and knocked on a street yesterday, and there were some people that You know, we'll just wave at you, just say hi. But there are some people that are excited to see that there's a church that's willing to reach out to people. There are some people that still want to hear about the gospel, that still need to hear the gospel. And it's up to us to have a vision, to see beyond the now and to see the need that they have for the future. Hey, a person with vision will see the lake of fire that people will go to, if not for somebody that will go and tell. After this verse talking about how Eli is becoming sightless, the chapter begins to tell the story of how in the middle of the night, when Samuel is sleeping, God begins to call him. Samuel hears God and at first believes it's his master Eli calling him. So he responds, as he must have done before, "Here am I." And he comes running. Eli says, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Calls again. "Eli, here am I." "No, that wasn't me. Go back to bed." It happens again the third time. And finally, Eli reveals a sense that he still has. And that is perception. He says, "You know what? The person that's calling you, it hasn't been me, so surely this is God that's calling you. Surely this is God that is talking to you." Verse number 8. "And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.'" Listen. "And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, 'Go, lay down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times." So now this fourth time he calls out to Samuel. And Samuel says, "Speak, Lord." You know, this is something that Eli still had. I believe that Eli was relying on a substitute. Eli was becoming sightless, and so he was relying on a substitute. He was substituting his perception for a vision. He felt like as long as he could still perceive God working, then he was fine. Perception allows you to see what has been done or what is happening, whereas vision allows you to dream about what will be. And I'm excited that we can come to church and we can hear God preach and we can feel stirred by what's being preached. But that doesn't mean you have a vision. Just because God comes and speaks your heart and says, "I'm talking to you right now," does not mean you've got a vision. It just means you've got perception. Eli had perception, but he did not have what was needful. Perception allows you to see what has been done. Vision allows you to dream about what will be. Acts chapter 18, verse number 9, talking about vision, says this: "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." Paul's vision was not about what he had done. It was about what he would do for Christ. Christian, let me ask you, are you substituting something for a vision? Are you happy with anything besides a vision? What are some things that we try to substitute? We try to substitute our presence. Just being here. Just being in church, surely that's good enough. And for those who are not able to be physically here, just watching on the live stream, surely that's good enough. It is necessary to be a part of a service. However, that is not all that is asked of a Christian. We need to have our hearts stirred by God. But that stirring cannot replace, nor will it replace, our daily Christian living. It will not replace the things that God gives us a vision about in order to live, in order to make a difference in other people's lives. Just being in church does not finish it. And our perception will not replace that. But yet Eli was trying to use that substitute. Oh, you know what? I can still see some spiritual things happening, so surely that's good enough. No, it was not. It was not enough just to be here. And that's the same thing for you and I. And I'm glad that we're in church. I'm glad that we're faithful. We need to do that. But we need more than just that. What else are we trying to substitute? We're trying to substitute our busyness or our activity. Just because we're active does not mean we are doing everything we can or should be doing for God. Being active on a Tuesday night does not excuse me from sharing Christ with my neighbor on Saturday. It does not excuse me from inviting the gas station worker or from the person at the pump over. It does not excuse me from talking to them. Hey, just because I am active on one night during the week does not excuse me from the opportunities that God gives me to have another vision. Busyness. Well, I'm busy helping in that Sunday school class. Praise the Lord, you're busy, but are you doing everything that God wants you to do? I'll tell you, just because sometimes I get busy that I overlook what God wants me to do. I get busy in the work and I ignore how God wants to do something right here and I miss out on the opportunities that He gives me. I'm probably not the only one, because we all get like that. We think that, well, we're here. We think that, well, you know, I'm busy. Hey, I'm staying active for you, God, so that's got to be good enough. Sometimes that's just a substitute for what He really wants us to do. What are some things that we try to substitute? How about our creativity? We have some wonderfully creative people in our church. Creativity cannot replace the fundamentals of the faith. I believe that we've tried to be very creative the past 4 months. But that was no substitute for what is happening tonight. Meeting together, meeting in person. It was creative, yes. But it's no substitute for this. Having a creative bus promotion is no substitute for good, old-fashioned knocking on doors and inviting boys and girls to come to church. It's no substitute for talking to little Billy and getting little Billy excited to go and invite his friends and helping little Billy go to his friends and say, hey, you want to come to church with me? This is my bus captain. It's no substitute for that. Listen, I'm glad that we can have fun and we can put a pie in Brother Allen's face. That was fun today. But you know what? That's just creativity. We need to do the fundamentals as well. We need to knock on doors. We need to get people out. Hey, you can have pizza and pop on your bus every single week, but you still got to knock on doors. You still got to put in the work. You still got to put in the effort. And only the people that have a vision will continue to do that. Posting a creative meme or having a wonderfully worded post about God does not substitute having a vision. Those things will never substitute a God-given vision. So in this story, we see that Eli was becoming sightless. We see that Eli was relying on a substitute, and if I'm honest, if I'm being completely honest, there are times when I do that also. The sad thing is, Eli was doomed in the situation. Look at chapter number 3. Verse number 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Because of Eli's lack of vision, he was doomed in this situation. The tremendously sad part of this story is all that Eli lost. If you take a second, you account for all the things that he lost. It's terrible. Of course, it began with losing his vision, but it didn't stop there. Eli lost his sons. This is something that I fear as a father. Brayton, Cooper, Hunter, can you come here real fast? You know what? As candy is falling out of their pockets. If I lose my vision and I try to substitute it with something else, do you know who will see it? They will. Oh, others may or may not see it. For some of you, it may be, oh, that's Brother Mick, still doing it, still going. Hey, praise the Lord. Or, that's Brother Mick, I hate that guy. But you know what? You may not be able to see it. Fathers, you know it. They will see it. They will notice that Daddy's not reading his Bible anymore. They'll notice that Daddy stopped teaching his Sunday school class. They'll notice that it's not as important to me anymore. So I guess if it's not important to you anymore, Dad, guess who I want to be like? And guess who your son wants to be like? See, I got to have a vision because of these three guys right here and that little girl that's in the nursery. Parent, do you have your vision? Eli lost it, and he lost his sons. Sit down, boys, before you embarrass me. Too late. Guess who your son wants to be like? Guess who your daughter wants to be like? Hey, Daddy, can I come downstairs and read my Bible with you? Sure, son. How come you're not reading your Bible as much, Dad? I used to wake up early with you. We used to drink some coffee together. Or at least you would drink coffee and I would drink water with a drop of coffee and a lot of cream and a lot of sugar. How come we don't do that anymore? There's some little boys and little girls in this church that rely on their parents' vision. Eli, he lost his sons. Brother Netterville, if I'm able to win the world and get everybody into church, but I lose those three boys and I lose that little girl, I blew it. Eli not only lost his sons, but he was losing the people following him. He was losing the people that were looking up to him. Your Sunday school kids love you, and they're following you, Brother Reed. Hey, your bus kids love you, and they're following you, Brother Harold. Hey, there's some people who care about you, and they're looking up to you. They're your Sunday school girls, Mrs. Scow. There's some people that rely on that vision, and they're following you. I got a card today from a bus girl. At first I thought, I bet one of their bus captains put them up to it. I bet that's what it was. Until I looked at the card. It has some sort of fairy on there riding on a swan with two scantily clad baby fairies. Get the old Sharpie out, color them in, put some clothes on. And inside, in the worst spelling you've ever seen, is somebody who I didn't realize, but they look up to me. I thought they just played around. I didn't think they listened very much in teen church. But it means something to them. What's going to happen if I stop? Miss Maud, what's going to happen? Oh, Miss Maud was my teacher, but she's not in church anymore. Probably all that Ohio State stuff that Mari's been bringing into the house. Look, we could go around this gymnasium, auditorium, whatever this is. We could go around here. And we could look at different people. And obviously, Pastor Angel, tremendous vision. To do all the things that we've done and to have the vision to do that, to reach out to our police department and show how much we're behind them, that's great. But you matter also. There are people that are following you, Brent Neimeyer. There are people that are following you, Christian school teacher. A little girl came up today. And the funniest thing I was standing in the hallway and I looked out and this little girl came up and she had her mask on. She was, probably 3-4 years old. The mask was bigger than her entire head. It was hanging off. And she came up and she walked right up to me. She gave me the biggest hug. It's like, no, children's meeting worker told me not to do this. I'm going to jail. She gave me a big old hug. Okay. She goes over, but every single person in that hallway, she went over and gave him a big hug. Gave him a big hug. Little 4-year-old girl, gave him a big hug. Why? Because you matter. And if you lose your vision for that little girl, are we going to lose her? He was losing the people. This is Eli. Eli lost his sons. He lost the people that were following him. Hey, in chapter number 4 here, the next chapter, they got into a battle and they lost the battle against the Philistines. Look around, we're in a battle. And we are losing it. We're losing it. Eli, because of his lack of vision, they lost the battle. They lost the Ark of God, which is a picture of the presence of God. And soon, he would lose his position as high priest and as judge. So much would be lost. There are some titles, there are some things, and there's some pretty heavy things that we can lose when we lose our vision. But as it sounds like preacher alluded to this morning, one title that we can never lose is that of son. our position in Christ will never be in jeopardy. And I praise God for that. I praise God that it's not up to me whether or not I maintain my salvation. But that is settled because of what Christ did. A few months ago, we were outside. It was a beautiful day. We were doing some work out there. And as we were doing some work, I gave the boys some chores to do. Hey, do this, do that. I gave them a list of things. And let's work. Come on, it's time to build character. Work, 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 work. And Hunter comes up to me and he goes, Daddy, what am I going to get for working? I said, you get a place to sleep tonight. He goes, Dad, I'm already your son. You know what? That's how it works with us, too. When I die, I'll have a place to sleep. Because I'm already his son. But that's not enough for me. I hope that's not enough for you either. I hope I have a vision to see the lost people of our community come to Christ. I hope I have a vision to see my boys go on and to serve God, and see little Edie serve the Lord. It's a terrible thing when you lose your vision. If you're not careful, you'll try to supplement that vision with a substitute. I'm thankful for my relationship with God and that we can never lose our position as his child. But there is a whole lot that we could lose. So let's take inventory tonight. Are we trying to substitute? Are we happy just being here? What do we need to get our vision again about? What do we need to open our eyes about? Look around and realize where we're really at. Keep your vision. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would please help us. I'm thankful for our pastor who has a vision. I'm thankful that he has a vision for us and he wants us to continue to grow and he wants us to move on. But Lord, I pray that I would have a vision. I would have a vision for my family, for the teenagers, for the ministries, for the people that I can reach. I pray that we would have a vision in our church for the lost souls that are around us. We would have a vision to continue to love you and serve you and to do right because of those that are following behind us. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I wonder if you said, Brother Mick, something that was preached tonight was an encouragement to me, was a challenge to me. You lift your hand up, say, Brother Mick, that's me. Something that was said was an encouragement, was a challenge, was a help to me. I don't want to overlook this opportunity, but is there anybody in here that says, Brother Mick, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven someday. There has never been a time when I put my trust in Jesus Christ, in what he did for me. I'd like somebody to show that to me. Is there anybody that says, Brother Mick, I don't know that, but I'd like to know that. Slip your hand up. I'm looking around. I don't want to embarrass you, but this is the most important thing that you would ever do. Anybody like that, slip her hand up and put it back down. As the piano plays, let's all stand. And if you need to do some business with God, why don't you come down here? And why don't you pray and talk to God and say, God, help me with my vision. Help me to not lose that vision. There are bus kids that need me. My family needs me. People around me, my neighbors, that person that I could be witnessing to on Tuesday morning needs me.